This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Cassette tapes, printed copies, and CDs of today's service are available. Information on how to order will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Look at your Bibles. Are certain parts read more than others? That's true in mine. Why is that? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that through faith in your Son, we have been set free. Free to live for the Lord Jesus, free to serve him, free to walk according to his will. God, we pray that we may understand that that freedom has come through the gospel. We also pray, O God, that we may be diligent in understanding what your will is for our lives. Deep in this Lenten season, O God, prepare our hearts for the coming of the resurrection. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning at verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." Here ends the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Thank you.
It's Monday morning, and I am about to begin my preparation for another sermon, which is always a tremendous challenge for me. I think it is a rare privilege when you know that that which you are preparing, and then will preach, even if it's to a microphone in a little room, carries with it a message that God wants these people to hear. God has something for you and for me that He wants to bring to us on this particular Sunday. And so I begin to prepare and consequently to share it with you. Immediately in my preparation, I'm reminded of my pastor's sermon that was preached yesterday. He told us that he looks at his Bible and some parts show a lot of wear, meaning that he's used it a great deal, read it often. Other parts look almost brand new, meaning that he has not read it as often. You know, I had to go home and take a look at my Bible. I knew what I was going to get when I got home and looked at it. And sure enough, many parts of my Bible are worn out, and other parts have not been read very often, perhaps some of them not at all. Some parts of God's Word are so very comforting for us and challenging and directive and forgiving. And other parts are downright disturbing. Do you have the same problem? Take a look at your Bible. Where is it marked? Where is it soiled? And then where is it clean? Our text today is dealing with one of those portions of the Bible that can be quite disturbing for me. It was very disturbing for some of these old Pharisees, I'm sure, and likewise for those of us or anybody who does not seem to like change. It deals with change, and I'm one of those who is very uncomfortable with too much change. Now, that just did not come with my getting older. Getting older didn't help it, I'm sure. But I've always been a person who really didn't like to see things change. I wonder if that isn't why I spent the most of my ministry, over 40 years in one parish. I just didn't like to leave these wonderful people. I didn't like to leave my community. And so we stayed right here. I don't know if we were deaf to the voice of God, but that's the way it is anyway. I don't like to give up my old shoes. I don't want to have the menu change too much. Just nice, the way we always used to do it. Well, neither did the Pharisees really enjoy change when it came to their religion. Let me read you again the 18th verse of our text. Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" In other words, there's a change here in this religious practice. To which Jesus replied, "How can the guest of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and on that day they will fast." These Pharisees did not like that very well. They thought that fasting should be on a particular day at a particular hour, and the reason they really thought they should fast was it helped them in their relationship with God. And it would also be a witness to the people that they were extremely religious and they were to be admired. And Jesus just smashes that. And he says, fasting, that is for your own spiritual edification. That is to strengthen you in your relationship with God. You don't try to win honor by fasting. That's a ridiculous misuse of that particular practice. But they didn't like it. It was a change, you see. And then Jesus, in one way or another, is announcing to them all the way through these sermons that I've been preaching that spiritually speaking, the time has come in God's economy where they have entered into a new era. And this new era is going to call for some change. And he says you must prepare for it. For example, he says, the gospel that I have come to preach is powerful. He said, now one sews a patch on unshrunk cloths on an old garment. If he does that, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And then to give further enlightenment, he says, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. So it is with the gospel. The gospel stretches us. The gospel does not put us into a confined area and say, this is to be done this way, at this particular time, in this particular situation. No. A few weeks ago, Pastor Steve Kramer was preaching on Christian Crusaders, and I loved his sermon when he said, you know why I like Jesus, among many other reasons? Jesus stretches me. Spiritually, he makes me a bigger person. My life is no longer regulated by the law. My life is regulated by a relationship to that Lord who has redeemed me through his death at the cross of Calvary. The Pharisees could hardly believe this. Is this what is happening in their church, so to speak, their synagogue? Just stop and think of the changes that Jesus was bringing to them. If you'd have asked a Pharisee prior to Jesus being there, how does one enter into a personal relationship with God? He would answer, you become a child of God because you are a child of Abraham. And because you are a child of Abraham, a Jew, then you already have become one of his, and you gain his favor by working hard in keeping the law. Jesus said, no. In this new era, God has sent Jesus Christ into this world. Through his suffering and his death at the cross, and through his glorious resurrection, he will grant those who trust him the forgiveness of their sins. And when those sins are forgiven, they will enter into a personal relationship with God. And then he will set us free to live for him. Back to this idea of fasting. Then you will do it because you want to. You want to draw aside for a period of time and pray and meditate and fast and just shut the world out. But that's not to gain the favor of God. That's rather to be strengthened in your own relationship with him. In other words, you don't give of your money a tenth, the tithe, and all the rest, just to fulfill a law. You may give 10%, you may give 20%, you may give more. But you give it out of love to Christ in the relationship of your faith with him. The Pharisees couldn't understand this. And the thing is that many of us do not today. Christianity is living out of love for that one who has come to set us free. Another thing that Jesus said, and we've had trouble in our day with that. I think to some extent we still have trouble. Salvation is offered to all people. While the Jewish people seem to have a special little place with God because he entered into a covenant relationship with them. Jesus is anxious to say that all people are precious and important to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You notice he did not say a particular nationality. He did not say a particular race. He said he came to give his life for the world. And if there's any concept that is taught again and again in the scriptures, it is this. In God's eyes, we are precious and important to him, not because of what we have done, but because of who we are. And it is in that gospel that we enter that relationship and want to live for him, and that freeing experience comes through claiming Jesus as Savior. He puts a new joy into your heart and a new smile on your face. Now the question is this, have we entered into a new day? And I believe we have. I think the generation of which I have been a part has seen more change than any other generation before it. Have you read the new book, The World is Flat? It's worth your reading. Here this author goes on to say that the future is going to be different. There are no longer going to be these countries that are sort of backwards. Some of the greatest inventions, without a doubt, are going to come to this world of technology as it works itself in places like India and China and Japan. Do you like that change? Well, some of it I do, and some of it I don't. For example, I love my computer. I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy working with the internet and play some games and get emails and stuff like that. Word processing. Don't you like that computer? So much easier than a typewriter. I love my cell phone, where I can pick it up and call my kids for no charge at all, except a monthly fee that I have to pay, which is going to be a charge, of course. But it's a marvelous, marvelous age that when you think that no matter where you go, you can be in contact with about every place in the world. I enjoy it when I'm in my car, realizing if something goes wrong, I'm in contact with somebody who can help me right away. Well, that's the age of technology and the age of change that we're in. Does that affect our Christian faith? I believe it does. Now, listen carefully to me, because I don't want to give the wrong impression. God's word does not change. Nothing changes. And it is disastrous for people when they begin to change God's word. And that's what's bad with some of our denominations today. We have become so sophisticated in our intelligence that we say, well, this doesn't sort of jive with our intelligence and our reasoning, so we gotta have to change it a little bit. One such case is the gospel has been given to all people right, and therefore all people are saved. Wrong. That's universalism. Universalism is not taught in the scriptures. Listen again to that great verse that we quote so often. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The period does not stop there. It goes on to say that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't change that. You can't change some ethical thing, whether it's same-sex marriages or the ordination of gays or whatever else it may be. You can love the gay. You should love every person. But where the word of God speaks, there it must stand. No psychology, no sociology, no change in church procedure can change the word of God. Cohabitation is sin. It was sin 100 years ago, and it's sin today. Self-centeredness is not pleasing to God and sin. Self-righteousness can keep you out of heaven. It hasn't changed a bit. So there's that part of the Christian faith where, once again, I don't want to be misunderstood, cannot change. The Word of our God does not change. The gospel does not change. But the way of bringing the message to this world can change. And that's where I have a little trouble. You know, the type of worship service. In the last 10 years, I can't believe it. I was raised on some of the great hymns of the church. I was raised with the understanding that the organ was the basic instrument of the church. I was raised that when you came into the sanctuary, you were to be quiet and you were to take off your hat. And today when I see people coming in and running around in a sanctuary with hat on or whatever else it might be, I begin to wonder, is that right? When I see that the guitar takes the place of the organ, I think guitars are beautiful, wonderful music. But they are no match to the organ from where I come. I think of a dignified service with the pastor standing in his robe, or at least his black suit. And when I see the dress today, I have to wonder. You know what? That's the way the gospel may get to some people. When I talk with my granddaughters, they're still in high school. They are deeply committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as committed as is their old grandpa. But they love to go to those contemporary services and hear that music and sing those praise songs. And in the end, Jesus meets them. It's a pretty hard thing, and some of you may wonder, what is the matter with the old fellow? I haven't heard him talk that way before. Just be careful that we don't play the role of the old Pharisee. Not the gospel that changes, but the way that it is presented to people may be far more effective in one style than in another. Hard to take? Well, God will help us over it. But let's not divide the church on issues like that. The gospel sets us free to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to be servants one of the other. Amen.
God's Son, has made me. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, give us the grace to be faithful to your word, never changing it one bit. But give us the grace also, Lord, to be able to use any method that can reach into the hearts of a person and be used effectively by the Holy Spirit in communicating this life-saving message. Bless, O God, the Church of Jesus Christ this day, and grant that we may minister with your word, being faithful to it, so that there may be a spiritual awakening in our land, and men and women may claim Jesus as Savior and Lord of all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the service today will be a light to guide you in the coming week. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the internet. Our website has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, a preview of the Sunday program, and many other spiritual helps. Visit our website at ChristianCrusaders.org. Copies of today's program are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is celebrating 70 years of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.